Yeah.
And you were on.
No, I don't see anybody. Look, who's that?
Kara Fishman
Downstairs. Oh,
downstairs.
okay.
Very good.
It's recording, and I'll do
All right.
the minutes through
Stop.
the record.
All right.
Thank you. Well, good morning, afternoon, and evening, all Monday. I'm going to call this meeting to order for the Veterans Commission meeting this Thursday, January 16th, 2026, at 1 p.m. at the Town Hall and also via Zoom. At this time, I would ask everyone please stand and salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. I'm Pam Sawyer, and I'm acting chairman. At this time, I'd like to introduce members who are present. And that would be myself, Pam Sawyer. We have Doc. Doc, can you introduce yourself?
John Hambrook.
Paul Toomey.
Bob Mora.
Thank you. Absent right at this time is Linda Rudolph and the two alternates, Anna Spencer and Carol Franco. So thank you very much. The next order of on the agenda is nominations and election of a chairman. I am going to take the liberty of making a motion to nominate Bob Moore to be chairman of the Veterans Commission for the next year.
I second that.
Yeah,
So it was made, the
amen.
motion was made by Pam Sawyer. The second was made by Dr. Hambrook. Anything you'd like to say, Mr. Moore?
Nope, let's get ready and go to work.
I'll call the motion then. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously with one absent, Linda Rudolph. Mark, I'm going to turn the
Could we,
chip over to Bob Moore.
all right. Next order of business is electing a vice chair because, as those of us of our age, we can't always make it sometime. So, Ms. Pam, would you like to make a nomination?
I make a nomination that Dr. Hambrook be Vice Chairman of the Veterans Commission.
You know, I'd love to second that.
Do you?
Yeah, no comment. All right, good.
No problem. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, unanimous.
You and I. Oh, my goodness.
Well, it's a
Like that'll
perfect
be the new
match. Two
job.
old guys on opposites on
You're
op
right.
opposite political spectrums. That you couldn't ask for anything better. All right.
Both supporting veterans.
Public. Normally, we would have public comment at the beginning, but I wanted to get all this done first. So public comment. We have none. I don't see anybody on their screen looking to in public comments. We're going to go on to item five under communications and. You all may have, you should have gotten a copy, email to you of Rachel's letter. Hi.
I'm an alternate. Is it
Yes.
okay if I sit in?
Welcome. Your name?
Carol Franco.
Miss
And I'm
Carol.
sorry, I went to the senior center
Oh, okay. No.
last place, I
No,
think.
we just started.
Okay.
So, Anna, I'm
Miss
going to.
Carol has just arrived to bring you up to speed. I was acting chairman. I'm Pam Sawyer. We just
Oh,
had.
hello. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thank you for volunteering. And have you been sworn in?
Yes.
Thank you. And we just had a vote to nominate and elect Bob Moore to be chairman of the Veterans Commission. And Dr. Hambrook, John Hambrook, is the vice chairman. And that's where we stand at the present time. There's time for public comment. Has come and gone. There was no one here for public comment. Would Bob like to ask if she'd like to introduce herself?
Right.
Do you want to give some of your background or introduce yourself or?
I'm a Bolton resident, obviously, and I taught at Bolton Center School for 24 years. And now I teach at Sacred Heart University.
Wonderful.
And let's see, I went to Duke University and Cambridge University. What else do you need to know?
Your interest in veterans?
Yes. Well, I was particularly interested in ethics, but I understand they didn't need anybody.
Oh, we're glad to
So,
have you.
glad to have
okay.
you.
Well, thank you.
And may I ask how you spell your last name so I have it?
Franco.
Just as it sounds.
Yes.
Oh, nice. That's great.
And
Well,
you
thank you.
taught
Welcome.
Spanish?
And French.
French.
I recognize your name because
you know,
I know I
I
had.
couldn't I was like, she's taught Spanish. No French. No Spanish. both. Okay, I got it.
I had your children.
Yes.
Well, I have to ask my kids then.
Yes, I had yours too.
Mine took Latin, so you didn't have mine.
No.
You have mine now. You have Logan.
What's the last name?
Clark. Logan Clark.
Oh, right. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So we're
thank you for your
just volume. To bring you up to date. We're on. Do you have a copy of the agenda?
No.
If not,
because I'm an alternate.
That's fine.
I don't even know if I was.
We would normally send them out to everybody.
So oh, okay.
Now, once everyone now is sworn in, you'll be on the list to get all this information when we have a meeting.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep. So. We'll introduce and Rachel. It really relates to Public Act 25.
Can we, Mr. Chair, may we pause for a moment?
Yeah.
Can we go back to public comment and ask Mr. Stearns to address the commission?
Oh, right. You have data for us.
Do you want to do it now? Yeah.
Why not? It's right. Yeah.
Would that be a good place?
That's a good place for it.
I'm prepared to stay here.
Barry Carroll is a former member of this commission and was very instrumental in a number of projects that the commission did before, prior. And so he's going to catch us up on where the former commission members left off.
Okay.
First of all, thank you all for doing this again. I did it for one term. I told when I was arm twisted into going on the commission. I told the person that arm twisted me I would do one term and that was it. But I'd been enough time in this nice meeting. But we had unfinished business when our terms ended at the last year, right?
Was it mm-hmm.
whatever it was. Two of which I spearheading from to the best commission. One of them was involved with the general property tax exemption that veterans of certain periods of service get from the town of Bolton. The state mandated it, but didn't send any money with it. So the town of Bolton pays that. It was done in thanks and recognition of the sacrifices and service that people from Bolton did and from Connecticut did. When they left their families and homes, and either by being drafted back when I was in there, or volunteering, which is what I did, so I wouldn't be drafted.
Me too.
But it was for $1,000, which when this bill passed, $1,000, I think my home was appraised then. I've been in Bolton for over 50 years. My home was appraised for about $20,000.
Right.
So $1,000 exemption off of that. You got about a 30% reduction in your tax. Last year, I'm using the same mill rate because it's all based on mill rate.
Right.
I used last year's mill rate to go back 20, 30 years, 40 years. So this year, my saved the amount of money that I saved my tax was less than 3%. The $4,500, Bolton did raise it, they have a local option. 40 years ago, they raised it to $4,500. It hasn't changed since then. It's almost 40 years ago that it's changed. When I first got on the Veterans Commission, I know some veterans in town. I started talking to them about what the concerns were. And the number one thing that was mentioned was the property tax exemption has not changed in all these years. And yet our assessments on our homes and the taxes have gone up quite a bit, and not a lot. So I brought that to the Veterans Commission. And they said, well, let's see what we can do about it. So I did some research on it, and I'll get to that in a minute. And then the Veterans Commission was approached by a selectman who said that there are certain wars that this country's had that aren't recognized on the town green over here. And so I was given, I think, three, I'll get to that, I'm just summing it up. There were three of them that were mentioned, and then we said, after that, meeting with other people, meeting especially with John Toomey, we discovered there were three more that possibly could have sent people to Target. They're so old that it's possible to find out they did or not. So we added them to the list too. So I'll turn to the property tax thing first. It's just, like I say, it's a recognition of what they did and appreciation for what they did. There are approximately 300 properties in Bolton that are owned by veterans who are eligible for this exemption. So it sounds like, well, 300 is a lot. It is a lot considering the town's only got maybe 2,400 residents, as far as I know, 5,000 population, but only about 2,300 homes, I think, something like that.
A little more, but that's not that it's pretty close. Yeah.
And the current year, that exemption totaled about $45,000, or maybe close to $50,000 that veterans did not have to pay on the tax. A real less than 3% of what the actual taxes that are raised. The taxes are based on mill rate, grand list, and the amount of money that the Board of Finance deems is necessary to run the town. And that's where when it comes. Well, there's other exemptions involved for different things like farmland. There's also other veterans exemptions based on deceased veterans, based on disabled veterans. And some of there's even some I think that are income limited, but this is a major one for veterans, and it's just a small percentage of what is paid in taxes. And how the town accounts for that is they deduct the amount of the exempt assessments from the grand list, so your grand list actually goes down. So the money that the Board of Finance needs is based on what they need and what the grand list is. So everybody's taxes go up a slight amount to pay for those money. So that's how they get the town. The town is not hurt by this, money-wise, but the veterans benefit a little bit.
It impacts the potential income, future income. That's as opposed to impacting any one budget.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Yeah. It's on the income side, not the expenditure side.
So we brought that up, and I approached the Board of Selectmen. This was in 2024, I think we just started talking about this. Then you got, back then we were having more budget fights, which is, and so things got put off. And the Selectmen said that they wanted to form, I don't know if they wanted to form an ad hoc committee, I think, if they wanted to look into this. So we could finalize these numbers and everything, the real impact of everything. One thing led to another, and that never really happened. For whatever reason, it didn't happen. It was something that I kept thinking about it. Never really got around to coming up and saying, hey, what the hell's going on? Why had this happened? I just assumed that there was other priorities trying to, there was a lot of stuff that was going on. When I got off the committee, the last meeting, I told them that I was upset about that hadn't been taken care of, and also the monument, and that if they would allow me to do it, I would be willing to continue, even though I wasn't on the commission anymore, continue to try and get these things going again. And then in early this past year, I had some health problems. And so that sort of dropped by the wayside. And I'm now feeling better and ready to get back at it. And then when I heard that this commission was being reformed, I said, well, I'll get the files out and try and put this stuff together. And hopefully you people can continue doing that. And I'm not going anywhere. I'm always around. If you need more information, you can always get to sit down with anybody about it or something. But I brought some stuff today. And the first thing I brought is about the property tax exemption. And I've got five copies. I don't know how many people are going to be here, but the first memo that I found was written in November 2024. And it was a presented at the selection committee that talked about what was going on there. And then the next one was, the next thing that I put in here was, it's a research thing that I found on the state Connecticut's website. It talked about business property tax exemptions and talks about this one in particular, and it also talks about some of the money. And it has everything in here about who's eligible, the whole list of different. This was done in 2005, so it sums up the vision in this. I don't think it's about the list of awards that people, you know, what their eligibility is. Like World War I, World War II, all you had to be was active service.
No, I just want to, I think someone's trying to come in on phone.
It's probably Linda.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's the only.
Okay.
Is it Linda? Yeah, I did send it to people outside of this, so it's probably Linda.
Okay.
She said she would try to make it.
Thank you. Sorry.
Well, this won't happen, but then they didn't. It probably was no World War I veteran left alive, so then. World War II was active service during the war. Korean War active service during the war. Living in conflict. There's a force of people things here, and there's more now that
they had to. What conflict?
Eleven fifty-eight, or I think there were two of them, 9/28/82 to 3/30/84. There you had to serve in a combat or combat support role to get the ballot. Vietnam era active service during the war. But not an invasion, combat or combat really then. The rest Operation Earnest Will, which was 87, it's like five months in 87, combat related. Panama invasion, in the news lately, combat or combat supported. The Persian Gulf War was active service anywhere during the war, not necessarily in the Persian Gulf War. And then, I don't know what the others are called now, there's probably other ones that have been asked. And that's it. So that's just to give you some background information. And this is just to give you some of what we did as a special commission. And the second thing that it was when we started looking at the monument situation, initially it was going to be going to have initial thing was that there was no recognition for over there anywhere for the Revolutionary War in 1775 and 1780, or 1812 to 1815, and the American Civil War, believe it or not, there's no one even but United States was a certain American Civil War. And doing the research into this, we added the Mexican-American War and Spanish-American War. Yeah. The Mexican-American War was in 1846 to 1848, and the Spanish-American War, which was in 1898.
So we've got Revolutionary.
Pardon me?
Revolutionary.
Yep.
1812.
There's five of them. So it goes from
civil.
Yeah, five of them would be, the way it would read would be in memory of all Bolton men and women who served during the country during the Revolutionary War, War of 1812, Mexican American, these are in chronological order, Mexican American War, the American Civil War, the Spanish American. There are already monuments over there, the Vietnam War, World War I, World War II. Persian Gulf, the Iraqi, mostly for all,
right,
already recognized. I presented a thing to the Board of Selectmen. I don't think I did this at a meeting. I think I I was told that they wanted to run this through the facilities and public safety.
Right.
So I presented a memo to them, talking about what we were going to do. And this was after we had done some of the research and we were going to add certain things to it. And that was in August of 2024. But nothing had really happened. And then I think in May of 2025, I contacted somebody in the selectman's office and said what was going on with that, because I hadn't heard anything. And then I was advised that they were likely to talk to John Petrovich, who's I'm not sure what his title is now.
Building and Grounds.
Yeah, but he's got a different title, right? And that's the whole thing. He's just Parks then.
Oh, right. Back then, right, yeah.
Yeah. To get his input on what he felt would be fit in there, where you could put it, stuff like that. So I met with John a few days ago in April. But on April, we could get together. And he made some suggestions of what the monument should look like, where it should be replaced. And he said that he thought the best placement of the monument would be in the back of the monument, right behind the Vietnam War monument, made out of the same material that one was made out of, and of the same size as the center section of the Vietnam Memorial lists names. This one is not going to list names. The research is take you forever.
Right. Final.
And so I took that back to the Veterans Commission. They agreed to go along with his recommendation. So in May of 2025, I presented this to the board. I dropped this off to the board of selectmen and go to the meetings. And I was told that at that time that probably would be on the agenda in a future board of selectmen meeting, but rather they still wanted to go to public safety if they wanted to. That also has not happened. And I was probably didn't through with it, which I'm doing now. So this all that material is here again in 5 months, thanks to have. Hopefully the special commission will take both of these on and maybe be a little bit more forceful in getting things involved. Get off the ground, get moving, things can happen.
The last one you brought up too, one of the things, I'm trying to go back myself in memory. One of the things that was, I'm not quite sure who discussed with, but the monument, we're looking for perhaps a grant from that Hartford, what's the?
Hartford Foundation for Public
Health. Right, but the town couldn't do it, but the Historical Society could, because they're, that's, which I think is an avenue that on this one, we should, because the thing was, how do we fund this thing rather than just having a straight fundraiser? I don't mean to jump into it, but this is one, I'll make a note on it, but I'll check and see if this would be something that would qualify for them. And I'm sure John Toomey, he still chairs that Historical Society, he'd be willing to work
I
with
believe
us.
The town now can. So
they can.
They have for the library, they have for the.
Oh, that's right. Well, then we can go forward.
The senior center?
Yeah, originally that wasn't an issue. We had to have it.
If I might, get a little prior historical background, I have had the experience of seeing the Revolutionary Monument and the Civil War monuments over at the Andover Veterans Memorial Park on Route 6. And I realized that we were missing those recognitions, even without names of actual soldiers, but we weren't recognizing them on our memorial area for veterans. And that's how this whole thing sort of started, got in steamrolling position. My thought had process at the time had been because we had the three out there currently, the large one in the center and the two large stones on either side, was to have two pillow type monuments on the ground closer in the front, because I wanted them to be seen when we have the memorial honor recognition on Memorial Day. It rolled through Barry, and Barry has a extensive background in engraving from a business perspective and military experience as well. And so that's how it started. And Barry has just wrapped to where it is. I'm a little confused as to your discussion with John. Is it putting it in back? Would that be facing the Tuthill House? Is that what you're thinking?
Yes, it would be right in the center, right in the back. Right,
or facing the opposite way.
Facing the opposite way, yeah. Or facing out the Veterans Way. Facing out. I said to John, so, you know, I was not, he convinced me that it would work. Because what they would do would be, there'd be a path made to go from the front to the back, to see, and it would be lit up to like the ones he put out. So
you're talking about having a 360 degree recognition as opposed to having it all presented to the north. So that's where it stands.
That's where it stands right now. It's not cheap to do these things. So when I first did this, I went to down to into Manchester and talked to the monument guy that owned my
the cemetery.
I can't remember the guy's name. I don't care what they think. And he recommended the grant to it. And at that time, we were only talking about putting three names on it, three ones on it. And I think the one we looked at was maybe 3 or 4, not two feet high or something like that with the base. It was around $3,000 or $4,000. And depending on how much more you put on it, this one is going to be big, would be bigger. And, that was the only guy I talked to about this. I'm sure this is something we put out to bid before you go out and do it anyway. And the decision was also made that you would not, no way would you have to put the research to find the names and expensive. I don't know what the Vietnam memorial cost, but I'm sure it was very expensive to do what they did there. So, if you look at the World War One, World War Two, there were maybe 15, 20, 30 names on those.
You're right.
You know, there were a lot of names on that one. So,
your best bet is what you have there is the granite engraved granite. Because when you start putting plaques on it, with the way they're stealing the brass.
Oh, they could leave,
I remember in the discussion, that was one of the things that and I think, I'm trying to think back too, when we thought about the circular thing, it would be sort of a balance because you would have the balancing off the Vietnam with that one in the backside and making it more of a circular, as Pam noted, the circular thing. But that can be looked at again to see if that still works or
different way to do it.
Well, yeah.
You just have to, you don't want to make it look like you were just. And,
well, that's the point.
You want to blend in, and that's what the John is.
And that's why it's always good to get one of our board members is a really good landscaper guy, have that sense to look at it.
Yeah.
And I think make a note down, Pam, maybe get Mather to look at that. You could. I'm sure he would.
I don't think anybody would object to where it is as long as it
works. Yeah.
So the discussion here is Selectman Mather Clark with an E, who has a landscaping company and is instrumental in laying out and design many large projects, home and corporate. So we can certainly talk to the selectman about that. We can talk to the selectman, that would be our recommendation.
Yeah.
To go back again to the cast plaques and stuff like that. the ones that are the World War One World War II cast plaques.
Right.
And they're so old in the town.
Right.
They are, those things will eventually probably need to be replaced. Around the Veterans Commission, we got one of our members wanted to us to look into putting, you can buy flag holders, each of the different, that are a little, well, certain little things that you can buy.
You're right.
That you can identify.
For the cemetery?
Yeah, for the cemetery. You can identify what conflict or war they served in on that plaque. And we thought it would be a good idea maybe to put one of those on each of the graves. Well, two reasons that we didn't follow through to that was, number one is cost. Most things are not cheap at all. And for back to take it stolen. They're very easy to steal and take to a unreputable junkyard guy to melt that stuff down with the brasses and stuff. So, but even researching that, we discovered both cemeteries in town have a granite plaque there recognizing the veterans that are buried in that. It's a general plaque, which is one in each of the cemeteries.
Underneath the flag.
Yeah, underneath the flag. Yep.
That was done in 1976.
Yep. So that part has been done. So that's why that never went anywhere. But it was a thought that somebody had until they realized expense. And then when I told them, in my business, I did a lot of cast bronze plaques. And we had to mount these things so they were almost impossible to get off of a rock or wherever they were mounted, or to be inside a building. Because people steal, you know, and they tear them apart and rip them, nothing down. Anyway. Any other questions about anything that I...
May we call you back on future questions?
Anytime.
No, now I know that you're here. You're not enjoying the sun like the rest of us.
Yeah, no. And I usually only manage to get out of here for about 6 or 7 weeks.
I know. But that, because
it's enough for me to get. It's February is much.
It's enough to go off for you to play golf.
And I don't play golf.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, Perry, thank you very much. You're welcome. That's very helpful.
Thank all of you again.
You've been busy.
Yeah, no, that's. And if I might just put my thoughts, I've always looked at that green, particularly now we have the ceremonies we have on there all seem to be related more towards veterans, you know, Memorial Day and everything else. I'm thinking ahead. There's so much on our plate now, but if that shouldn't just be a veterans memorial, and we can go forward and you know, work to get a plan to keep developing it that way, improving it that way, because that's what it's all. I don't know what else it's been used for other than when we had elections, we would be on there.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore. And that, you know, that's not, that still fits into the, you know, the concept of veterans and supporting our nations. I don't think it's any different, but I still think this can be picked up and started to move forward with it. This would be a good grant, I believe.
Just to add a thought process for the new members, Barry probably already knows, Bob knows, we have a Founders Day Fund in the state, in the town budget.
Oh, that's right.
And we should perhaps ask and see how much is in there. That Founders Day Fund, it's required to be able to access it, that it is good for the entire community.
Right.
And so I think this would be a good ask to see if it qualifies, not necessarily that we use it, but does it qualify through that, or should we go out and seek additional funds through the Hartman Foundation for Public Giving?
Who determines that it's qualified?
The selectmen.
Selectmen.
Thank you, Mr. Burns.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, good to see you.
You want to come to the next meeting?
We'll see.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All
right.
You're looking good.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Thank you.
Determine on to
item. On to the next item. And we're back to our guest here. And
you also have our town assessor online.
No one. She's listening in. So you all had a chance to review the data that's there, but you come bearing some information for us, and appreciate your sharing it.
Would you just say your name and address for the minutes?
Of course. Rachel Clark, 110 West Street, Bolton.
Is it gonna come?
Yeah.
Okay. The floor is yours.
So I pretty much, I addressed before. I had sent a letter in, and yep. They had recommended that I talk to the Veterans Commission. And so part of the letter is in here as well. But I'm writing to respectfully request the town of Bolton consider adopting an ordinance to implement the municipal option provided under Section 241, Public Act 25-168, for the 10-1-26 grant list. So adoption of this municipal option would allow the town to grant a property tax exemption to the surviving spouse while such person remains a widow or a widower of an individual who was killed in action while performing active military duty with the armed forces. So I did include some information in regards to that. That'll be on the third page. So the public act is listed there. So just a little bit of history I went into as well, about me and about my husband. So my husband, Master Sergeant Michael Clark, dedicated over 22 years of his life to serving our country. His commitment included 5 deployments, humanitarian missions, and numerous tours that significantly impacted his life and those around him. Mike was an invaluable member of a forward surgical team, a highly mobile medical unit that provided emergency surgery and resuscitation to injured service members near the front lines, and pretty much a true embodiment of courage and dedication. When Mike wasn't deployed, Mike worked as a surgical technician in the operating rooms of Connecticut Children's Medical Center, Manchester Hospital, and the Bone and Joint Institute in Hartford. He was a dedicated husband, father, soldier, and friend, known for his contagious smile, infectious laughter, and unwavering zest for life. His patriotism was strong, and his love for our family was immeasurable. Mike genuinely gave his all in everything he did, and he truly was an American hero. Tragically, Mike's life was cut short on July 20th, 2022, while on active duty orders at Fort Gordon, Georgia. While he was teaching a medical class in a field tent, he and 9 other soldiers were struck by lightning. Mike was the only soldier that died that day. His death ruled as an accident left me devastated. At just 41, he left behind not only me, but also our 2 young children, Logan and Haley. So now as a widow, I find myself navigating a life I never imagined facing. Many Gold Star families like me are grappling not just with emotional burdens, but with significant financial difficulties. The demanding reality of daily responsibility often seals the time needed for processing grief. When Mike passed, my world stopped. However, life continued around me with all its obligations, including mortgage payments, car maintenance, and other living expenses. Extending this property tax exemption to Gold Star spouses would provide much needed relief during an already overwhelming time. It is a small but significant step towards supporting families who are carrying additional burdens without the love and support of their military spouses. So in honor of my husband and for the sake of all Gold Star families enduring similar hardships, I call on our community, committees, and lawmakers to consider the needs of those who have sacrificed so much. Let us not forget our heroes or the families they have left behind. So I'm pretty sure that this was passed through the state,
yes.
And now it just has to be passed through the individual towns.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Now, reading through it, the rather brief synopsis of it, and it doesn't, I'm a It looks like if I, it does it, it doesn't does it say the full amount or partial or is that up to what is approved? That's the one thing I wasn't quite sure on this thing. And
that I don't know. I
won't
have to.
Yeah, unless that's the, when I was looking, I was looking at it the other day. Maybe Carrie would know.
Kara.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah, whoops.
Can you hear?
Can you
Can you
hear?
hear
Can you
me?
hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you, Kara.
Okay. So, for any
for any
of
of these
exemptions,
you
can
limit it
to
the
median
assessed
value
of residential
property
in town.
Yep.
You can
and
you can add or take
away
the
2 acres
of
building
lot to
lot
go
go
with
with it.
You're getting a little echo there, Kara.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Sorry.
Kara, are you in the building?
Yeah,
yeah,
I can come
I
up.
Okay.
Yeah, it might be easier if you don't mind just taking 5 minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Be easier.
Quick, the wheel gets the grease.
Right. That's the one thing when I read it. I didn't see, I wasn't quite sure where all that was. So we you know what you're asking, and
at this point, how many people it involves besides you? Is there anybody else?
Very few. If
I don't know if any other gold stars are
suitable,
and so
I would say it would be less than five.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's and that. It could be just one or two, but I'm
right.
not. But,
yeah, yeah.
But I,
yeah, yeah.
I thank you for coming up.
Yeah, yeah. I just I didn't.
This is Carol Fishman. She's our town assessor. That we share with another town.
So on any of these 100% permanently and totally disabled, there are options the town has,
right.
Which is you can include up to the building lot, you know, depending on how you want to define the building lot, you know, by zone, whatever, you can include that. You can limit the exemption to the median assessed value of residential homes in
that's a straight average across the board,
right?
Yeah,
and that would be because some people have, you know,
yeah, right,
more modest homes,
right,
than other people. And you can also
say that again, Sarah. What do you,
well, some people have homes that are, you know, valued at, let's say, 200,000, other people have homes that are valued at 400,000, right? But the exemption is still the house fits off.
Got it. Okay, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah. And then you can also extend this exemption to people who are 100% permanently and totally, I think, what do they call it? Unemployable. They don't call them, it's not the same thing as permanently and totally disabled. And my understanding is that was originally what they were trying to do with this exemption, was for people that couldn't work, you know, to... so that, but all these are by local option. All this stuff is by local option.
Got it.
So the question Bob had,
yeah,
in this case, we're talking about a widow of someone who died in act on duty. Does the piece of legislation, Public Act 25-168, say that it would be 100% excluded,
yeah,
exempted, or would could the town say 50%, 75%, 80%? Do you know the answer to that?
Yeah, I'd have to look.
Yeah, that was really where I was going, because my thoughts were, and a lot of these, I'm really talking in general, not just this one, on a lot of them.
Yeah.
When you limit impact, you have a step. Like, let's say 51st% the first year, move it up 12% the second year, 100%, something like that. But that would have to be approved as a one-shot deal. You just don't change it every year. As a
package.
Pardon?
Create a package.
Correct. But when I was reading this, it really didn't answer my question. I couldn't see anything here that told me you could or you couldn't.
Yeah, no. It just says, it doesn't say anything about that. The original exemption, which is just the dwelling, there's nothing in here that's, I mean, that I guess you have to give. But anything else, I guess it's, you could.
So the dwelling would be full.
What?
The dwelling would be at a.
The dwelling would be just the house assessment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But no. I can't imagine doing a house without the lot assessment. I mean,
well, but that's the way it is now.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody who has that 100% P&T gets just their dwelling off, not a building lot. And that would be a local option and not the outbuildings.
Okay.
And I will just throw this out there just because I calculated it real quick. So the town right now with this AP, with the 100% is, it's costing the town approximately 100,000.
Currently,
yeah, with all the veterans exemptions, everything.
Okay, yeah. as we go as right now.
Right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So just to throw that out. And otherwise, I'm just talking.
Does the state give us anything back on that?
I think they're supposed to give us something for the additional veterans, but that is a very small.
Oh, it's nothing.
The low income, yeah, it's yeah. Very small.
So that, but this base has been, we've had this. Right along for quite some time now. Right?
Well,
I mean, it's built in.
I think it was like 30,000, and then when they added the houses,
yeah,
it went up to the 100.
So, how long has this been in place?
This is the second year.
The second year, so it's in place right now. So yeah. Last year, it's baked into last year's mill rate. Then,
right,
that's what I'm saying. Okay, that's good to know because we've got that base there of that.
What was built into last year's place?
The exemptions that Carrie was talking about, that currently exist.
Yeah, the 100%
for 15,000.
No, the 100% of getting your house exempted, the dwelling. So the new law went into effect for the 24 grand list, and that was exempting the dwelling.
Dwelling, not the property.
Right, the dwelling, and so. And this will be the second year, but now they require you to make apply every year.
That is for the 100% disabled veteran,
yes,
or their spouse,
right?
And in this case, we have not applied because this is so new. The spouse of a war of a veteran killed in action.
Right. It's, I think she, Rachel's.
That's another right thing of, we'd have to adapt to it.
Right, an application.
Okay. Yeah.
But she has to apply. Does the Board of Selectmen have to adopt it? Or because of the way this is written, is it automatic?
No, it's a local option. You have to go through whatever
okay.
is required to exercise that.
Okay. So it's just that portion of it that you have to go through.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Any of the optional things. It's there. Basically, this in the at the end of... 12168, the yep. last three are the some of the exemptions that the optional ones.
Right. Yeah. Those are the ones that just came into effect as of January 1 this year.
Right.
Right. Okay. Anybody else have a question right now? That's a lot to absorb. Okay.
But we ask Rachel if she has a question.
I'm sorry?
We ask Rachel if she has a question for
Kevin. Yeah. Well, I included you in that comment, by the way.
So do I need to address this with the Board of Selectmen as well? I mean, or am I supposed to fill out the application? I guess, what are the next steps?
Well, they have to approve it.
Right.
I guess you guys... have to recommend
we would,
it.
Yeah, it would be us to make a move to recommend this okay. to the board.
Okay.
Okay. And which I think we'd be certainly heading in that direction. And then once that's approved, that would be effective this tax cycle.
If it could, yeah, I mean, you could
it would it, be, yeah.
You could make it retroactive, yeah.
Right. Okay. And that portion of it, I want to make sure we have the right portion of it that we're.
So you're going to have to monitor the cat for a while, huh?
Oh, that's my. That's my phone. I love us to left it on.
No, that's where that echo was coming from.
Sorry, because I couldn't hear it.
No.
Strap the cat to the dog's back.
Is there a way for you to just?
I can mute.
Yeah.
So, Karen, did I print out the right public act for everybody? The 25-168, the one that you sent me?
I believe that, yeah. That
okay,
was
that's the, what you're looking at as well?
Well, I have, yeah, it is what I'm looking at. I just have to find that. Yeah, the 1 year.
Which I'm trying to do it.
My stomach is like
so happy. Oh, yeah, it's 1281-83A. Yeah, this week.
We're on girls' night on Saturday. So it's like fun, and we're
going to
be fun.
I can just go down and.
Would you do that for us?
What?
Would you print out the one that we need?
Yeah, it's actually, do you have this one that she printed? This is yours. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So this is what she has is a surviving spouse. Yeah.
And the one is for disability, and the other is this one is for.
Yep.
This is
disease.
Right. And actually, yeah, this is the public act, and this was actually this so statute.
What is this for?
Oh, these are the statutes. That...
Right, and she has the actual.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, okay.
Thank you.
You're right.
Got it. Now I got it. Okay.
Yeah, you can just have a flash. This is the second page of statutes.
Okay. Anybody else have a question?
Okay. Yeah, I'd be happy to do whatever you guys right. need. Whatever you.
But if we go forward with it, let me meet with you next week just to so I can write up a presentation to the Board of Selectmen as to what it impacts. Right. So they know. Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know, if any other people in Rachel's.
Well, I would assume it'd be an exceedingly low number.
Yeah. Right. And then the other provisions, I don't know either.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sarah, this is Carol. She's
hi.
Yes, I've met you.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And do you know Dr. Hambrook?
Yes. Hambrook?
Hambrook.
Hambrook. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Okay. And Paul Toomey? Yes.
Nice to meet you.
Okay. And I know you.
You know what? For good or bad, you know us. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Kara.
So one of the things we have to examine very thoroughly is to make sure we don't exclude anyone if we're going to put forward a well-deserved one for the deceased family of a deceased. But also those that are 100% disabled, what do we have to put forward to the selectmen? Or what is automatic? So we need to be very clear on that. And it is my belief that what you do for one, you have to do for all. But let's do it once and put these forward.
But I thought that she was saying that the 100% disabled is already in place. You don't have to act on that. That the only portion you have to act on is the, if you will, the widow or widowers.
Let's double check on that.
Yeah, but
that's
what I was listening for.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
I thought, yeah. Yeah, that's why.
Because
she said that number was, that's why you had that high, such a high number because of that.
Yeah, he was saying that it was 100,000 currently.
Right.
of total exemptions.
Right. So, which is much higher than what it used to be. So it must be because of that. But I'll check. Well, I'll check. That's one thing. Right. I'll check with her just to verify that. But I agree with you. That's what she said. That's in place. I asked that question. But the part that impacts you isn't. And that's the part that the Board of Selectmen, that portion of the act was an option that the board has to approve.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, should we wait to make a motion and put that on the next agenda when we have all the details carefully crafted so it goes forward to the selectmen with a board vote?
Well, let me ask a question here. Because they can... I'd like to get an act on this month, this coming month, so that it can be...
February.
Yeah. So... I think it's, the question is, really gets down to, is it just that one portion of it that impacts the widower? You know, we can get that resolved fairly quick. Can we make a motion with the assumption that is what we are requesting? Or I'm just putting this out for conversation, but I'd like to move it along. I like to move it along as quickly as we can. So for two reasons. One, the finance committee then can at least factor that into their deliberations, which are going to be towards the end of February and March. That's why.
That makes sense.
So
timing-wise.
It's timing. And if we were able to get started a month or two before, we wouldn't be here. But this is where we are. So, let me get Kara back up here. We might be able to get this question. If you don't mind, can we recess for about 5 minutes? I'll go get her.
Okay, cool.
And just get that clarified.
Great right. Recess.
This way we can move.
I love recess.
Oh no!
I think we're still being recorded, Mr. Hamburg. So just be careful of what you discussed that happened at recess.
Didn't say a word. Oh. I used to ask students what they liked best about school, and it was either recess, or it was lunch, or it was the best ride home when it's open. Very random. Maths.
I get that.
Art.
Jim. They love
Jim. Jim's
another big one.
For some kids it is, and for some kids it's a nightmare.
Oh. Exactly. It's so true. Yeah.
Excuse me. I have to leave in about 15 minutes, but it doesn't matter because I'm an alternate. Right. So
we're just happy to have you.
Well, no, that's very kind. So please excuse me. I had no idea how long this would last.
You were seated here, and we have one member missing. So as an alternate, you could actually vote because we do not have our fifth member here.
I'm happy to vote. Of course.
I'm not the chairman. I'm not the vice chairman. Sort of the parliamentarian and have been for a few years on other boards because of my experiences.
Okay, so if it happens in the next 15 minutes, someone would like me to vote, and I'm happy.
Mr. Mora?
We're in good shape.
Carol has to leave in 15 minutes.
We're good.
But she could actually vote as an alternate today because she's seated because Linda Rudolph is not here.
Right.
Is that your understanding?
Yes.
Thank you.
So, and Carol's, as we thought, that part that dealt with disability is in effect. And that is part of what the legislator required. The part that impacts the widow or widower has to be approved by the selectman. That's an option.
That's the only piece.
It's the only piece. So someone would like to make a motion that we request the Board of Selectmen to approve.
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
I would make a motion that the commission recommend to the Board of Selectmen to be included in their February meeting at the first of the month. The approval of the Bolton Veterans Property Exemption for
should be written here somewhere.
The surviving spouse of a service member who was killed in action while performing active military duty with the armed forces as defined in Public Act 25-168.
Can someone second that?
I'll second it.
Paul, please second it. Do you have any further discussion? If not, all in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. The motion passes unanimously, all members present.
With one member absent and the alternate being seated is Carol Franco.
Thank you for making that clarification. And we look forward this to the Board of Selectmen.
Thank you. Thank you so much for everybody's time.
And we'll let you know when that meeting is so you can log in on it.
Okay. Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming today because it's always good to have the information with the feedback. But again, thank you again.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thanks for your patience. Meetings.
Say hello to the kids.
Thank you.
So under 6C, which is general discussions, I know you have to leave. So this isn't critical. This other part was more critical. There's a lot of other aspects that we can discuss at our next meeting is that the increase in the tax exemption for veterans. And that's one that impacts a fair amount of people. It was 100 and...
300 over...
No, but...
300 properties.
Yeah, but not all... There was fewer than 300 people that it involved. Might have been 300 properties, but because you have to fall in one of those categories. You can't just be a veteran. You have to be a veteran during a certain time frame. And that's why...
Correct.
Yeah. She had all... It was 300 veterans, but not all those veterans. I think it was in around 200 or less.
I believe there are over 600 veterans in the town, and it's under 300.
It was under 300
that are impacted by wartime service,
right,
in order to be able to get the exemption, the increased exemption.
Right. And one of the things that this was talked about when I was on the board as well, as to how many were there, and there was a big mistake because everyone just said, oh, it's all the veterans. It's not. So this is something that for our next meeting, I'll sit with Karen trying to come up with numbers and we can discuss as to, you know, how many people it does impact.
Right.
So we can kind of figure out, okay, if we're going to go forward and request an addition, I mean, additional
4,500.
Of what?
To the 4,500,
right? To the 4,500, yeah, as opposed to the 1,000,
right?
And just see what that means in actual I hate to use the word loss in revenue, but how much less revenue would be brought in because of that?
Right.
And this way, we've got something to talk about, and the board has something to discuss. So, if that's okay with the board, that's when I'll put that on the agenda for next month. And may I ask if is I arbitrarily picked 1 o'clock. This is the Thursdays that we normally meet. Does that work for most everyone, or is it good, bad?
Depends if I'm working or not for me, but I'm an alternate anyways.
Right.
Is afternoon sometimes good for you?
Yeah, it's usually from around 3 o'clock. Or is that too late?
When we have Sue Ellen Kamara, who is unable to do it today, she clerks for us. She is here until 4.
All right. So starting at 3 is tough.
Right.
What do you know?
2:30 maybe?
Do you know? Yeah.
2.
Yeah.
2:30, and is Thursday good for you?
Mm-hmm.
How about you guys?
Thursday is a goose. Anything goes with me.
Mr. Dr. Hamburg?
I'm as loose as his goose.
And I can adjust my schedule. To make
I'm retired.
Do you meet every month?
Monthly, yes. Monthly.
Oh, so it's not quarterly.
No. Like
some of the commissions are quarterly.
Yeah, right. No. We,
the ethics is quarterly.
Right.
And also senior citizens is quarterly, yeah. I believe.
I don't know. I don't know when they.
I don't know when they.
No. My wife's on it, so I don't want to know.
Are you a member of that also?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, governors.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've only been to one of their meetings also, so.
So anyhow, so yeah, it is monthly, and particularly now because you're going to be dealing with.
The second Thursday of the month. Is that right?
It's third. Isn't it? The no, what's today? No, I think this is the third. It was the third Thursday. Today is the third Thursday of the month. And does that make a difference with anybody, whether it's the second or third? Okay.
So which will it be then?
It'll be the third.
Always the third.
Third Thursday.
Third Thursday.
So February 19th?
Right. So, yeah, good thing we brought that up because we're, like any other commission, we're supposed to have a calendar of when we meet. So this would be the time to create the meeting. So if I have my calendars, we're gonna set it up for the week, for the year.
Okay. What time?
Can you indulge me?
3 o'clock now.
2:30.
2:30, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have to set the alarm, get up from my nap.
So February would be, next one would be February 19th. March is also the 19th. April is the 16th. No. Oh. May is the 15th. June is the 19th.
I have May is the 14th.
Oh, yes, I'm on Friday. Sorry. You're right. And June is the 18th. Do we take 2 months off in the summertime? 1 month off?
Sure.
I believe we take the 2 months off.
Okay. Then we jump to September. It'd be the
16th?
No, that's Wednesday. I think it's the 17th.
I have. Oh, that's July, August, September. Sorry, September 17th.
Yep. And
October would be October 15th.
Yes. November would be the 19th, and if we hold one in December, it would be the 17th. And we can always change it, but at least we have a. This way, this space can be reserved for that time or wherever they want to put us.
And you'll approve this with the selectman's office?
Right.
You know anybody over there?
I might be able to talk to a few people.
Bob's our former first selectman for 18 years, that's all. I'd like to add something to the discussion under general discussion for priorities for the commission, Mr. Sure. Chairman.
Yep.
Two items. The first item is I'd like the board to think about and consider a retired flag repository to be looked at as a possibility to be at the transfer station and have a barrel perhaps outside of the transfer station that people can use without having to buy a ticket. And it could be something done in conjunction with the Boy Scouts to do a quarterly retirement fire honor
ceremony.
Retirement ceremony. And we have with us someone who is still active in
scouting
in Dr. Hambrook. So could we add that to our next agenda? Right, as an item?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second item I'd like to bring up that I actually need some discussion about now is I've been in contact with the Connecticut State Library, and they have a gentleman by the name of Kevin Johnson. Kevin is a renowned historian, and he does a different presentations, and one of them currently that he's worked on is a thorough history of a servant during the Revolutionary War of Colonel Ledyard, who witnessed and was at the Battle of Fort Griswold in Connecticut. He does a 20-minute presentation in character, and he does 20-minute question and answers after from the perspective of a Black servant at the time who witnessed what happened at that time. And it's a very interesting history. I happen to know it, so I don't want to share it because I don't want to spoil anything. But Kevin is excellent. We've had him in Bolton one other time. I'm sorry, in Hebron, at their historical society, and he was doing a civil war. But with the 250th anniversary of the United States happening this year, I wondered if the commission would be interested in having me move forward with having a presentation, perhaps in the early evening at one of the schools, and the Veterans Commission could be a sponsor, and we could co-sponsor it with perhaps the Historical Society and perhaps the School History Department.
That's very
and
exciting.
It's free. And
sounds
it's free.
Good.
It sounds
free.
Great.
It's free. Did I add that part?
Yes.
That's great. It's free?
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew it was free, but I was going to jump in. But yes, it's
except
free.
Except you have to provide cookies.
We can provide cookies.
We can do cookies.
So, everybody.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I don't think we need it. Do we need it? We don't need a motion on that. Go ahead and do it.
Do I have consensus?
Do you have consensus by the entire board present?
So I'll see whether we can do a May date. It depends on
his availability.
Putting, and I know his availability is May 19th. He's got 20 of these to do between now and June. I've already spoken to Kevin. Mm-hmm. He has May 19th available, but he also has September available. So we'll see what if I can put together some options,
mm-hmm.
whether it be in the spring or in the fall. We'll see what we can do.
All right. At that note, we're on item 7, which is adjournment. So
who's going to make that motion?
I move. We adjourn.
I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor? Aye. We are adjourned. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for coming.
Me. Oh, Carol, thank you for volunteering.
Yeah.
We're so grateful to have.
Thank you.
I'll tell both my children I saw you.
Yes, and now yeah. I've had them in the early years.
In middle school.
Yes, no, but I just mean, I think early in my time at Bolton.
Oh, it could be. It was in the middle school.
Yes, oh, definitely.
Yeah, because I think when they got up to the high school, they took Latin.
We need an email.
Right.
But they...
would you remind me the names, please?
Elliot and Jocelyn.
Right, okay. And what are they doing now?
Elliot is an engineer, and he's living down on Notch Road, and Jocelyn is taking care of her two children, and she's down in Pennsylvania.
Your email address?
Exciting.
But I can tell you that I took a lot of French. They finally let me out because I was not very good. And early on, when she was really little, and she was, or both of them were taking the languages, and they would learn the nouns and the thing. But when they got to you, and they started to do the declensions, and they started to work, it made my hands sweat, and I stopped helping them. I just said, no, I can't do
it. I
can't do it anymore.
I bet you could, but
these declensions are killing me.
I do want some children. I don't know if your children knew that I wrote a children's book.
Oh, okay.
About my chihuahua who used to come to school.
Oh,
and so it's called The Dancing Chihuahua. And I did it out of love for that dog because every year she came and performed for those students.
Oh,
and she was more popular than I was, of course.
Now that rings a bell.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes.
Okay. May we have your email address?
Of course.
This way we can get
cell phone number.
Of course.
This way we can contact you when we have meetings. Thank you.
They're not usually this long.
No
meetings, but this is an exception today.